your typical harvest reading, but it's taken from Luke chapter 12, and it's Jesus saying for us not to worry. So it's Luke 12, reading from verse 22. Luke 12 and verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I'll tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for your word, and we've heard, Lord, not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thankfulness, to bring our request to you. And we've just heard, Lord, from your word, not to worry. And yet, Lord, how anxiety and even heavy hearts cause us to bow our heads and wonder what next. But we thank you, Lord, that we can lift our eyes to the hills. So where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, that we can seek you first, Lord. And we thank you that we can seek you today, not just for ourselves here, but for those outside of your kingdom that have no thought or knowledge of you. May we forever continue to let our light shine, continue to move in our midst as we look to reach this area in one way or another, creative, imaginative ways to just touch the hearts of people. And we just ask you, Lord, to give us guidance and the leading of your Holy Spirit in such ways. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for those in authority, for our king and our queen and the prime minister and the opposition benches, that we might lead peaceable lives in godliness. And that we might continue to pray that the lost would find the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask your mercy upon all those who seek you today in all aspects of society. We pray for the situation in the Middle East. And how can we pray when words don't seem to come to mind when we see the devastation? But we pray that, Lord, that through all of this, your goodness, no doubt, is being shown to the least and to those that have got nothing. On this day of harvest, Lord, we pray for those that have no harvest, those whose fields are barren through floods or through drought. O God, may the international services of our land be such to help feed those who can't feed themselves. And so, Lord, we thank you and we bless you today that we can seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and that all the things we worry about, when we simply offer them in prayer, simply disappear. So we bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to sing one more before I share a short word today. Looking down, being down there, I've just noticed the time. It's half past. But we didn't start on time, did we? Never seem to start on time. Just a few thoughts from that reading. As I said earlier, it's really not a typical harvest theme, but I sensed it was appropriate for us today. It does seem already to be appropriate not to be anxious or not to worry about things. And I think what Jesus was really teaching, the main theme of what he was saying, that if we are so preoccupied with life, we lose the benefit of living. If we're so preoccupied with life, we lose the benefit of living. Life is more than food, he says, and the body more than clothes. And Jesus uses, in a very uncomplicated way, the very simple fact that he must have looked around them and said, look around you and see the birds. Who feeds them? God feeds them. The lilies of the field, the ravens, and so on. So there's just three things I want to leave with you today. First of all, that God is a God of provision. He provides for us. Secondly, the principles of God. And thirdly, the priorities, of course, which is to seek first his kingdom. And God speaks to us in every aspect of our lives. We've heard that already. And it's not an audible voice. Often it's in situations where we know God has communicated something. Certainly, I think in your case, Tony, he definitely wanted you to find your hearing aid, even though you may have not wanted it, because you get instructions from your wife. And sometimes men, we're very limited with what we hear from our respective ones. I shouldn't have said that. I've got no notes about that at all. But anyway, come up. But when we think about God providing for us, that even if we can't verbalize a prayer and we just offer a groan, just, Lord, oh, why? You know, that's a prayer. That's a way of communicating back to God, who communicates with us. And God doesn't always create something new. He just opens our eyes to what's already there. And if he provides for the birds of the air, the grass of the fields, how much more does he provide for us? I want us to really underline that in our thinking this morning. God provides for us. I know we live in a situation now, we have the benefit system, we have social services, we don't seem to have all need to have that level of faith to live by. In some forms that's good, and that just shows how society has improved over the years. And I was just thinking and reading a bit more about George Müller. Some of you would have heard him, this German Christian evangelist way back in the 19th century. And he was a director of Ashley Down Orphanage down there in Bristol. And he always would come up with this simple, no disrespect to anybody from Bristol, by the way, always came up with this phrase, God will provide. And he was a man that saw God work in tremendous ways. I just want to read just a simple little story of what he witnessed, the hand of God at an orphanage, in one of the early orphanages that he had in Bristol. The orphans had gathered for breakfast, and there was no food. Just imagine it. They had their plates, they had their spoons, they had their knives. They wouldn't have had marmas in those days, would they? But anyway, they had it all ready for breakfast, but there was no bread to eat. And as it happened, a cart was going by with a lot of fresh bread, and it broke down outside of the orphanage. And the baker simply went into George Müller and said, look, I've got all this bread here. It's going to go to waste. Do you want it? And of course, at that time, provided breakfast. Now, we don't live like that today, but what a wonderful way to live. A friend of mine who eventually went to New Zealand and I come back to the UK said to me one day, Ken, all I want to do is live by faith. And this man, he's experienced amazing things. And I'm wondering whether there are things in our lives where we just need that additional element of faith to believe that God will provide. Maybe that may not be in provisions, may not be in food necessarily, but it may be in some other area of life you're really seeking God for. Really, God is saying, raise your eyes to the one who provides. You see, it is possible to restrict what God has for us when we resist his provision by a lack of faith. Isn't that interesting? I know that some of you today, I really sense that some of you are looking for something beyond what this world can offer, what society can offer, what all the ones, the people we respect can offer. But don't restrict God by resisting what he wants to provide. I think that's the first thing. I put all the other stuff aside for a moment. The principles of God, this is interesting because Jesus teaching a very important lesson here, and yet it's a lesson that we can easily lose sight of in our modern day. You know, our days are full of momentum. It's we go here, we go there, we've got this, we've got that. And we lose the moment, that moment. And I hope that we can have those moments here when we can just allow the momentum of life to quiet down to moments of stillness and silence and just reflecting on God's way with our lives. You see, Jesus is really having a go at those who are really holding on to their possessions. Their possessions were important to them. It's all right to have possessions, as long as possessions don't have us. It might be we focus our time and our energy on things of this life and not so much on the kingdom of God. Jesus is more concerned of who we are rather than what we have or what we're going through necessarily. And so Jesus calls us to contemplate, to consider, first of all, the ravens. Then he says, consider how the lilies grow. That word consider comes from the root word where we get the word video from, or VHS, or Betamax, if we remember those days. A bit different now, isn't it? What is it now? iTunes, I suppose, isn't it? But it means just playing over and over again. Consider the lilies. Consider what surrounds us. Think about how things just don't happen. God causes them to grow. If you've ever grown anything in your garden, you will know it needs hard work to start with. You plant the seed. That seed has to germinate. And then, you know, God willing, if the temperature is right, things grow. The principles of God is about growing, about developing, about producing a harvest. And so often in our lives we're so busy doing that we're not looking at enough at the simple things of life where God is at work. We used to live in a house in Gloucester, Upton St. Leonard's, actually, when I was growing up. And I remember when we would go into the garden, there was a stone laid there that we discovered when we started clearing the garden, my brother and I. And this stone simply said, you're closer to God in the garden than anywhere else on earth. Isn't that right? And don't you find that when you're in the garden, Tony? Didn't you find how you're peaceful out there? But there is something about being outside, isn't it? About benefiting from nature. And just stopping for a moment. I mean, if we had time, there's a lovely proverb. I think it's Proverbs chapter 9, the wisdom literature, when Solomon says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Take a look at the ant. You know, an ant will carry 50 times its weight. Apparently, it's the quickest insect in the animal kingdom from A to B. It goes at so many hundreds of miles an hour. Can you believe that? If you've ever had an ant's nest in your garden, you'll see how quickly they move here, there and everywhere. They have no commander, no leader, and yet they all are doing something important, and they build their nest in the harvest in the summer for the winter. We've got to learn from God's simple things of life. You know, taking a walk and just having a look and seeing how things grow. It's interesting, Job was having a real problem with one of the friends who came up to him and said, "Oh, the problem is, Job, you've done this, you've done that." And Job says this in the sarcastic way, as only Job could be. He urges his friend, he says, "Well, just ask the animals and observe the earth, asserting that they bear testimony of God's wisdom and power. He proclaims that the principles of God are seen in the life of creation and the breath of all mankind." Think about it. The air that we breathe, we take things for granted. Maybe the Lord is saying to us not to take things for granted, but to be thankful for small mercies every day. You know, that scripture that Barbara mentioned, that God is sufficient. You know, and God is sufficient for all of us. And maybe when we look at what we have and look at all the things that we have around us, you know, we have been blessed, mightily blessed, and that's why it's good to help and support others. So the principles of God is that we don't need to worry about things if we simply look around. And finally, the priorities of God. But seek first, it doesn't say seek first in my Bible, but it, in fact, I think in the original it says, but seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God. I think harvest focuses our minds on creation and the characteristics of God, the fulfillment of God, the faithfulness of God. And we can be thankful that things just don't happen. God makes it happen. But the words of Jesus are so important, I think, for us today. That, you know, when we worry and when we get anxious and we're burdened, we have a habit of looking down and not looking around us. If we find it difficult to pray, just take a look at that morning sunrise, or even the sunset, if we can do that. If you're a Strictly Come Dancing fan, you would have heard last night, if you look down, you lose your balance. Think about that. I thought that was a very wise comment for those that do follow that program. I briefly do, but anyway. But it's true that when we look down and when we look at the circumstances that we go through, they seem to become out of proportion to what they really are. The longer we look at negatives in life, the bigger they seem to be. So when Jesus said, seek first, he said, look up. Look up to the one who is the provider of all things, the one who has the principles that are laid down through his word, the one who provides. To seek first his kingdom, that's our priority. To seek first his will, his purpose, what he wants our hands and our hearts and our bodies to do. And the Hebrew writer simply says this, consider Jesus, consider him so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. That word consider is the same word as Jesus spoke in this passage. To consider him, to think about him, to contemplate on him, so our hearts don't get too heavy as we look to the one who provides, whose priorities are right. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So let's remain hands free and hearts open to God and say, Lord, not unto me, but unto you be all the glory. Use me in your kingdom. Continue to use me. Give me strength to deal with the challenges that I have so that I might receive your blessing as I give you all the glory. Amen.